you.
Welcome to the Cedar Hills Planning Commission meeting dated Tuesday, February 26th at 7 p.m. Meeting at the Community Recreation Center. First order of business is public comment. I was going to set aside the beginning of this meeting for anyone from the public who would like to make public comment on agenda item or anything for that matter. I didn't look at the sign up sheet over there. If any of you signed up to be a public comment, or if you didn't sign up, if you want to come up to the microphone. Yeah, 3 minutes to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Seeing none, I'll move on to the next agenda item. Item number 3, approval of the minutes from the January 15th, 2019 special planning commission and the January 29th, 2019 planning commission meeting. I was attending to one of the two, first one, but commission's had a chance to review those minutes and would like to make a motion on approving.
I would like not to make the motion yet, but I would like to make a correction. On page 5, top paragraph.
Which meeting?
Sorry, January 15th. Where the council members at Town Bay Doors will be in facility to which Mr. Bybee responded 50. Commissioner Spear asked if there would be lighting on each door, and Mr. Bybee responded to the affirmative. That's not how I remember it. I was like, that would be every few feet, like every so many feet, not every big door.
Yeah,
for
sure.
Is that right? Okay. So I think I would say that that would be at Commissioner Spear asked if there would be lighting on each door, and it's finally responded in the negative. Oh, and then one other thing. At the last page, same meeting, page 6. This is where we were just discussing the trees, the heritage trees. And so halfway down the page, maybe third way, Councilman Spear asked about the old heritage trees on the property. Mr. Goodwin explained they would likely be removed. And I don't remember being likely to be removed, as it would have to be likely, we'd have to value it, but then it would have to, we'd have to see it.
Well, it just depended on where it, I say
right.
Likely because if it's on the property line, they're gone.
Okay, so if they're on the property line, if they're not on the property line.
They're not on the property line, then it depends on which side of the property line they're on.
Right. Okay. I just looked, it just sounded like they're going to be removed or something. Please be evaluated.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my question.
So, do you want to make a motion? To approve the minutes?
Okay, never mind. That's my view that we approve the meetings for January 15th and January 26th. Planning Commission meetings with those corrections for January 15th.
I'll second the motion. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, item number 4. Review, recommendation, and public hearing. Amendments to City Code Title 10, Grade Chapter 6, related indoor storage facilities. Chandler, why don't you say a few words about the public hearing?
Okay. I'm going to pull the code up on the screen so everyone can see it. These mics are really loud tonight.
They are loud.
Good. We can hear him on the recording then.
Yeah. I'm not used to hearing myself, so this comes from 10685. And really the crux of the discussion was around the city's interpretation of what indoor climate control storage meant and what we felt would be allowed by code. And I had a conversation with our attorney, and I feel like we're on safe ground proceeding the way that we're proceeding rather than just approving it based on their assumptions. So I'm quite comfortable with the direction that we're moving. So under this code, this is the focus of the code itself. This red paragraph here is not very clear. So I'm going to dissect this one sentence at a time. So it says structures having bay doors with loading docks. All buildings listed as either a conditional or permitted use within an SC1 commercial zone may not incorporate any bay doors or loading docks of any kind along the front elevation of any building. Right? The front elevation is established in the elevation magnetic. It's very clear. All bay doors and loading docks shall be located on one side of their elevations if any structure are subject to conditional use approval by the City Council and their Planning Commission recommendations. So they're given as a condition with a hearing before this body as well as approval from the City Council. And those conditions could be a number of things. It could be noise, it could be placement, it could be light, it could be hours of operation, it could be a number of things. Read within reason. And all bay doors loading docks on any use listed in section 3 of this title and chapter shall be screened from view using landscaping, fencing, or other approved methods. So there's a number of ways that any visual impact, door training, lighting, or any issues can be mitigated from the surrounding area, whether that's adjacent commercial uses or whether that's the residences to the east. And there's a number of ways. I think the two easiest to come up with are fencing and vegetative screen. It's the low-hanging fruit. Walmart, on the other hand, another approved methods is Walmart's bay doors on the south side of the building. They painted them, as we discussed before, they painted them to look like a building in their shop. You don't really notice them. I don't know if there's been that long, the colors is such a good match, but you don't really notice them. So there are some other methods that you can approach to getting those impacts. And finally, the general appearance of the building shall maintain an architectural theme consistent throughout the commercial zone. I felt that was important in drafting this code, that the bay doors themselves and overall the individual nature of the building or the types of building we're looking to call the commercial zone. And then finally, the equation, and I think this is going to be the crux of the discussion, is the number of exterior bay doors should be limited to one per 1,200 square feet. There's nothing magical about that.
Hey, what was it based off?
Yeah,
where did it come from?
Well, based on feedback that we got from the Planning Commission last month, it sounded like there was a general consensus that bay doors, as they were placed, as they were presented in that meeting, were okay. It was just a matter of having code that would allow for them to be where they are. So I took that number, and the number of bay doors that are currently proposed in the building is 35. The building itself is 37,000 square feet in the building footprint. I guess it's 32. So there's a 3-door gap that we can figure out. That's the rationale.
How many square feet is this proposed building?
This building is 37,717-ish.
Is that total?
No, total.
Footprint. Let's talk about that. Because this in this next section here, it says building sizes shall be limited by the total building area, meaning some of the gross floor area of all floors. I think that's a pretty bad way to measure the size of the building. It should be led by the building footprint itself. And I say this because you can have a 50,000 square foot building and they can build up 35 feet. And whether or not they have a second floor is really irrelevant at that point. So what I'd like to do is have that be based on building the footprint, not the sum of the floors. That makes all its sense.
Yeah, it's 42,000.
42,000 square feet?
If you divide by 12,000.
Plans I have show 37. You sure?
I think we're on the same. I remember 42,000. So let's check.
Mark's got to look at that nice site plan and see.
And you guys are going to test it.
According to the document, the happy is 42,164 square feet.
Where are you looking at that?
Come to the other side of there.
Five.
On the old side.
Five and a half.
Five E.
I don't have a breaker. I mean, I just think we call it other things. Yeah.
Do you have a GoPro?
So, using this proposed staff recommended definition is about 35 feet quarters.
So they're proposing.
And I'll just tell you that we had designed at 35 before we got to this.
Yeah, I am on that conversation. I didn't want to. Okay, so.
We didn't match his number. It's just yeah, came out.
Okay, I think building changed, but that's.
Are you done with your?
Yeah, okay, so if you want to do a public hearing portion, then we can maybe address any concerns.
I have a question now.
It's locked.
Sure.
Let's
have
a public hearing first.
Okay. Yeah,
that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, an element of public hearing was on. Amendment to City Code Title 10, Chapter 6, related indoor storage facilities. Is there anybody here in the public who would like to make comment on this specific topic? Public hearing, you're welcome to come to the microphone. Have approximately 2 minutes to express your opinions or wishes, desires, whatever it may be, as it relates to indoor storage facilities in our commercial zone. Seeing none, I will close the public hearing and we will continue the discussion on review of recommendation on the topic of speaker patents in chapter 6 related to your storage facilities.
So let me put your question to
okay. My first question would be, our concern that is there some sort of language in there that says they need to match the brick on the grass,
but that falls under the condition. So the condition is a pretty broad brush.
Okay.
So the condition, and that's why I like it to be a conditional use, okay. Because if we're saying, okay, well, this big door is within X amount of feet of this neighborhood, and we're concerned about the noise, the condition is we'll give you the big door, but you need to make sure the lights are no higher than X amount of feet high, and you have to have a fence that's 8 feet. Or bay doors have, as a condition, bay doors have to be the precise match that the color of brick. So it allows the Planning Commission and the City Council to, like I said, mitigate. It's not eliminating, because if you're going to allow bay doors, they're there, and you can't eliminate that. You have to mitigate the impact. So the conditions would be anything like that, so they can't be green, they have to be in Virginia led.
So maybe a comment on the code.
Yeah.
I feel like
I'm in a giant room. This echo is
It talks about screening and mentions landscaping and fencing or other approved methods, and you mentioned painting the doors with the color of the building. My only concern is that someone, you know, in the future, it doesn't seem that it's happening here. Could just paint the doors and say I've complied. I wonder if at least they do still have to come before Planning Commission and City Council, and so at some point we'd probably say we don't like that. But I wonder if you say landscaping, fencing, and other approved methods, or in some way indicate that landscaping and fencing or something more than just painting the doors.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and I think going back to your point, I like to use the word "can" there, because it does allow for multiple uses there, painting and fencing, painting and landscaping. But the approved, I think, is a key word there, in that the approval comes from this body.
Still, I see that for us, so we're protected from that, but that's a good point. Okay.
So, I'm trying to find the permitted uses in this zone, but so something like a Jiffy Lube or a service station or a repair shop, any of that is not allowed in this zone, is that right? And this is.
Gasoline service stations, it's all conditional use. This is retail zone. This first column here. Sorry, I'm off. But this column right here shows you the conditional permitted uses. If it's a blank one, it's not in like, it's not in a lot of use. So scroll down to where you have auto washing.
So car wash would fall into the same idea here that I'm getting at. That there are businesses whose essential purpose is not necessarily a retail front, but access to the building. Let's say like a car wash, a Jiffy Lube, a car repair center, a storage facility, something like that. That the primary purpose for these bay doors is access and use of the business rather than a loading station or a loading dock or something like that for, you know, restocking, I guess. There's a difference here. So the intent of the business is actually to have access to this building in this way versus we're trying to mitigate a potential nuisance from ancillary piece of the business that might be bothersome. So that I think what we're trying to do here is apply something that comes from a retail environment to a storage facility, and it just doesn't match. It's not the same thing, even remotely.
I think I understand where you're going. So let's say that Jiffy would want to come in, and they have 3 or 4 bay doors, right?
That open on both sides of the building, right?
Open on both sides of the building. Looking at site plan, just because it's the biggest, and you can shift your building. So let's say this is a Jiffy Lube. You can still load it through this way. There's nothing forcing you to load it front to back. You can load it side to side.
Well, unless.
But let me know if you finish the thought before I forget it. Just because it's the biggest elevation doesn't necessarily mean it's the front. I would say it's more likely to be the front based on where it's positioned according to public road.
I was going to ask that as a follow-up question because there is a potential development that has been talked about going behind the existing Walmart that would have a substantial amount of bay doors accessible. And so where would the elevation be? Because the entrance to those businesses would be the bay door side.
They can identify on that side. Let's go to that side.
So you wouldn't have to die with
the doors on. I like this conversation because
I'm
more of the unintended consequences.
Yeah, I'm trying to make a very, very broad point here that the business has to do with bay doors, not necessarily a loading area. So if we over-regulated, then we've hampered the business a little bit.
In this case, and we can change that code. There's not this.
And that's what I'm intending is that we change it.
Maybe throw the counterpoint there, kind of where I'm coming from, is that, one, I generally really wouldn't want to see bay doors in the front of the building, right? So to me, if on this building right here, you have the Lexington Heights across the street, and it all kind of wraps around the street. Even though this is the main entrance, you can call this the front elevation. This is the front elevation. So the actual main doors are loading along with the rear elevation. So it's all going to be determined.
Yeah, it does. So, and I agree that we probably shouldn't have, except with the exception of automotive service, a car wash or a Jiffy Lube type business, that we probably shouldn't have a whole lot of bay doors on the front of the building, unless the intended purpose of the building is that you have to have easy and massive access to the building.
So let's look at the code then. This one
example of that is when we approve the Hearts development, and you have to have a piece of land there.
Mm-hmm.
They express their desire that someday they may want the car wash there. They express that when they bought the land, and they didn't turn it into a parking lot. That's the parcel land between this proposed Taco Bell and the car wash.
Sure.
That might be an example of a bay door, right? So we actually have a current retailer that has a desire to have, potentially have a bay door facing the property.
So okay, let's come down to the code here real fast.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's talk about the code. And the proposed code. But it says all buildings listed as either conditional or permitted use within SC1 commercial zone may not, it's not shall, it's may. I think that if you want, so we're going to defer to our attorney. We'll leverage in that regard to the property. But can we carve out an exception here for bay doors in the front of the building based on specifically the use? If the use of the business is, let's say it's a grocery store, we don't want a bay door in the front. I don't believe it's necessary for the business model to have a bay door in front, but if it's a Jiffy Lube or a car wash, but the business model may depend on having a bay door, a series of bay doors in front of the elevation, then it seems like they're going to be right to the point because you want to carve out a perception that it's, I believe the threshold would need to be that it's necessary to
an integral part of the business.
Integral part of the business, not just a desire. We want the front door loading dock in front as opposed to that's not good. So I don't know, what would be your thoughts?
I can have loading and or drive through access to something without a bay door. Like the semantics of whether or not I have a roll up door or a sliding door or cargo doors or a hangar door, like that, I can make it pretty and make it look like it's not a bay door. I guess what I'm trying to get at here is this is an essential part of this business or will be, and I don't know that you can mitigate out access to bay doors entirely. I think what we're calling out is the loading docks should be slightly hidden from the public view and mitigated in any nuisance causing kind of things here. And what we're doing now is not that, because just the business is different. It is a loading business versus a...
It is, but I don't believe the bay doors in front of the business is integral to the business model in this case.
And it's not necessarily the front.
But I don't believe that in this case it's a major point.
So let's not talk about the front. Let's talk about this number per square foot of building, because essentially all three other sides could be covered in bay doors and potentially will be without any negative consequences to, what's the difference between having, 10 bay doors down the side of a building and having five, you're still opening and closing them and having access to it. I don't know that there's a reason to put a limit on it. It's a conditional use anyway, so we're going to be looking at it, making sure that it meets the other aesthetic pieces. Just to say there's an arbitrary limit, it seems arbitrary.
It's not arbitrary if you're setting a limit.
Another approach.
It's not arbitrary when we set limits. The city sets limits on what you can and can't do all the time. It's what we're good at. So it's a little arbitrary if you set the limit and then don't follow it. That's when it becomes arbitrary. So I think I'm going to just disagree with
you. Well, I'm just wondering, like you said, that there wasn't really any magic coming up with this number other than dividing it by, you know, maybe the...
1,200 seemed like a reasonable amount of square foot per bay door. I had no idea that, I didn't even know the building had acres. I thought we were getting a discrepancy of 3 doors since the conversation that we had with the last week with developers. So the fact that it matches nicely is funny, but...
That's great.
But it's not arbitrary when... at this point, because we set standards all the time.
Well, and maybe the number, what if three sides of a building end up having these types of access points, then how can you screen all of that effectively? If it's a flat piece of ground and, you know, a 6 foot high fence really doesn't hide it. That's what I'm trying to get at is how far are we going to go to have them mitigate what may not be an actual nuisance?
That's a fair question, too.
So can I ask, this is a question for the city attorney. So the way this was noticed, maybe the city book should make it possible. So the way this was noticed in the agenda was that this meant to this seat, the code relates to indoor storage facilities.
Yes.
So we limit this recommended code, this new section 9 specifically, applies to indoor storage facilities only, technically indoor climate controlled storage facilities, which is a permitted use in the zone. Is it legally bad decision making or policy that it create something in the code specific to a particular use? So we could just limit this entire topic to indoor climate controlled storage facilities.
The applicant has pointed out that other cities have similar language and use a very liberal interpretation. Meaning, really, anything with a door or window is fine.
No, that's not my question. Can we limit the use of bay doors or loading docks in the apartment building specifically? Limit the number, like, 1 per 1,200 square feet, for example, could limit that only to indoor climate control facilities. So all other buildings and activities in the zones.
Can I re-ask your question? If I understand directly, I think I hear what you're saying. If we have this formula in this code, so the number of exterior bay doors should be limited to 1 per 1,200 square feet of building footprint. If that were to say, the number of exterior bay doors for an indoor climate control storage facility shall be limited to, so that section is just only applicable to this portion.
But right. That is actually asking. Potentially the bay doors as well on the front of the building.
Are you asking to change to have just that formula be applicable or the entire clause?
Entire clause.
So I think you could do that. A potential problem becomes when Jiffy Lube makes their application.
But they're not indoor climate controlled, they could have indoor.
So they wouldn't have.
But the rest of it prohibits them from having that.
Half this discussion.
The rest of the SC1 section 9 here says any structure.
No, section 9 only applies to indoor climate control facilities. Period. It doesn't apply to the car wash or the Jiffy Lube.
But then where do we allow that? Because unless it's permitted, then it's not allowed, right? Like, unconditional?
In that case, if fall under 7, wherever found, overhead doors shown in position so it's not visible to 4,600 West, 4,800 West, 4,600 West Drive.
An interesting point, or Jared's point, is that are we still regulating the, in some way, the other?
Well, that's what the code is intending to do, is to make
right.
just a standard for base orders.
But
if you want to narrow it down, pigeonhole it down to just indoor climate controlled storage units, I think that's fine, but I think on some level it is kicking the can down the road.
I think we'll know the can down the road, because this kind of what's happening here is whenever we try to change the code to accommodate an applicant, it ends up unintended consequences to other applicants.
And that's what we're discussing, right? We're discussing and trying to do this to this applicant.
Yeah, this applicant, I think we could probably make this work and council would approve it, and this is all economic development stuff, and this is great, but, you know, what does happen when a Jiffy Loop or the car wash or, you know, some other business or 10 things with bay doors on them go in that you actually can see driving up Cedar Hills Drive? Like, because that front elevation is going to be pointing a different direction. You can see all of those doors as you drive right by. So that's a...
An outdoors farmer's market where they roll up doors and buy some fruit.
It's a great use. I don't see any reason why we wouldn't want a use like that. We just want to make sure that it looks like it's built out of brick and made nice. Like, that's what we want. Whether there's a roll-up door or not shouldn't really be material.
That's not my understanding of how this discussion went 2 meetings ago.
I wasn't here 2 meetings ago.
The whole turned on the doors. And so to suggest that we would be okay with doors on another application in another use seems pretty hypocritical. That's my opinion.
I wasn't here, so sorry.
I would, like I said, I was trying to do something that this isn't the only facility. Like, keeping in mind this is not the only facility that we have in the city with bay doors, nor is it the only one that's been requested to have bay doors. So it's one of the things where, whether it's tonight or a year from tonight, we'll probably be talking about bay doors. And so my thought was, set a standard that you can live with. Because right now there's really not a standard that's very good other than this clause setting, which is...
So it sounds like it's legally fine to limit Section 9, specifically indoor climate control storage facilities, if we wanted to.
You can. I don't see why you couldn't.
That's one path.
I think you can.
Yeah. Maybe other paths we can discuss. No, I agree that that's likely legal. I don't see the reason for it. I don't see the point. If we're going to allow bay doors, we're going to allow bay doors. We've limited them. We've shown where they're allowed to be used and not allowed to be used, which elevation, which roads they can run on. I don't see why we would limit this to just one conditional use of the 30 or 40 uses that are conditional and permitted in the zone.
So if we don't limit it specifically to indoor climate control, then we're basically saying this applies to all uses itself, right?
True. Yes.
So if and then you wanted to come, and whatever reason you wanted to have a door spacing in that front for business purposes, be useful, right?
That's
well,
right.
If they wanted to come to a car wash or the examples based, they'd have to base the doors maybe the opposite direction than they might want to for some reason, the flow of traffic or convenience or advertising of their business, right? Whatever it might be. It really pigeonholes them and do now all buildings of this type have to face.
I mean, 4600, 4800, or Cedar Hills Drive, that means anything along any of those, you just couldn't have a pull through access to like a service.
No, that's.
Any of those big doors are going to face Cedar Hills Drive. Because we've got Dollar Store there.
But that's not how the proposed amendment reads. The proposed amendment talks about the frontage.
So all I'm saying is if you
got it talks about the front elevation.
Right. It applies to everybody. I'm just kind of thinking about Stephen Thomas's point. There's some unintended consequences of the business entities, which we don't know yet, so it's unknown, right?
No, it is. It's unknown.
If we limit this specifically to indoor climate control, then when the other applicant comes, we can use the code again, or we can...
Well, or you can carve out some sort of exemption for that store. And that's, there's some language down here that says same bay door located on the elevation, because it is a may in the previous sentence. Shall be proposed to the city council upon recommendation of the planning commission and must be demonstrated to be integral to the commercial use. I don't know. There are businesses that rely on bay doors in the front elevation. You're right, that's very good. But this is one of those areas where
It just seemed really, really specific about these doors, and there are quite a few businesses, some which would be very useful to have in the city, that use bay doors, and they need to be in the front of the building, or they need to be accessible. And which we've seen now with the storage units is a point of that. Not necessarily in the front of the building.
You got two points there. You got need to be a part of the building and need to be in the front. Those are two tests, two different tests.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but we're kind of blanketing them together in the proposed.
So is there a way you feel comfortable just letting us out?
Or you just leave the door open with a sentence similar to the one you have?
Yeah, there's something.
So,
I mean, in a good way, where we can consider one of these businesses as an exception.
In this case, I would believe it would be on the applicant to demonstrate that the integral use would be on that to kind of say this is why I have to have a door on my elevation.
We have to make sure whatever language we write has enough teeth that we can say that we can deny something utilizing language in our code. Otherwise, we can appear arbitrary or capricious. So we have to open the door, but in a way that still
enforces it.
Yeah, allows us to enforce it. Yeah. So we've run into that. I'm sorry, Dave, just very quickly. We've run into that in the past where our language has been far too vague.
So, Mr. Kraft, did you have anyone ask or add to this comment? No. Okay. Commissioner Spear?
I think we should try to set a standard with him. And I think the addition sentence does help. And I think it's not going to exclude the business. They come, and if on the other day, or showing up that it's required for business, we can discuss that.
Mr. John Dredge.
And this is for Chandler. I realize you just threw something up there for discussion point, so I'm not being overly critical, but the two sentences, the one you just wrote and then the one that follow it, are mutually exclusive.
Right.
So they'll have to be reconciled. And I actually, I'm of the opinion that we should make one section here about the bay doors and that would be universally applicable to this zone.
Can I say, how about the bay doors and loading docks? That's different than bay doors that's integral to the business.
Where are you going?
Where your cursor is. Bay doors that are near loading docks are entirely different than bay doors that are on a car wash or so, the doors are loading docks and loading their designer elevation because those are loading docks, trucks going back there. So, of course, we don't want that.
Let me ask this though. Is it. I'm going to go back to the second time of the meeting. Is it the use of the bay door or is it the bay door itself that we're trying to make?
I think it's the bay door on and with a loading dock. It's different than the door on the dock.
If we go back a few months, I think the original premise and concern on bay doors as it relates, I think, the use I was aware of was storage facilities, that once the bay door is open, then you get to see into the world of the applicant's storage stuff, right? Everything that's in the storage bay, it's open, right? So that's why I think the body wanted to exclude it from the front of the building, especially, and potentially the entire building individually, so that the public would you can see any of this stuff. So I don't know if they're supposed to be doors.
They're not supposed to be doors. I will disagree. I was opposed to bay doors on the front elevation of the building.
Why?
As aesthetically.
And
it makes it look like a different type of building from an office like fitting the tone of the neighborhood, which is why I thought that with the front elevation as presented, I think they addressed that issue.
And I
heard have addressed the issue at all.
I disagree because of a different reason that it is a truck, they're loading and unloading. It's different. That is the reason I also didn't want a bay door.
Okay. So, is
this definition close to something this body would like to make a motion on, or is it?
Can we talk about the bar comment? For a second.
Yeah.
Can I make a comment?
Just striking or.
Before we dive into it, I mean, the reason we have these police powers essentially, right, to say what you can and can't do is to mitigate some kind of nuisance or hazard or, you know, something like that, which is fine, but this is very broad, say, don't have bay doors, essentially on the front of the building, and then on the side of the building, we are going to talk about the formula, but I think calling out specifically you can't have bay doors really limits some of these drive-up access businesses, and we need to address that in some way. If we're going to really specifically call out bay doors, you know, the reason why, and this is just back in planning school, this is what they talked about, the reason why you put berms and screens and fences and stuff was when you've got a garbage truck coming and picking up a dumpster and it's really loud and really stinky, you want to keep the residents and the other businesses shielded from that. When you have a big, huge semi truck backing up to, you know, a location, you kind of want to shield that from everybody else. Those are the reasons why that you do, you know, all of these mitigation measures for standard loading type bay doors. But this is different, I think, because now we have a business where it's a part of the business, not just a, you know, once a week delivery.
Are you wanting bay doors in the front of this building?
Not in the front, but you know, it calls out, you know, what it can be facing.
That door. So, I mean, my understanding was
actually we're not going to
want to see bay doors on the front of the storage facility.
We eliminated indoor climate-controlled storage buildings, and we're not opening it to the entire zone.
The danger of that is that you're suggesting would be every applicant that comes in, we add a new section saying for car washes we can do this, for oil change places we can do this, for farmers markets we can do this, but not for this specific. It sounds like you're going to piecemeal it down that every applicant then would have to write a new section.
I'm trying to avoid that. I provided one path to deal with bay doors. Commission's welcome to come with different battery.
I have a strong agreement with modifying this to make this path.
I feel like we're spinning and not going anymore. Okay. What are the issues here? Is it bay doors on the front of the building?
I think
you're on the aesthetic point of view.
Stop poll. Where are we going with this? I'm getting a lot of different feedback.
I don't want them. Unless, you know, there's some way to mitigate them or shield them from the public view on the street. You could delay or you could leave that way. I definitely don't know if the door on the side.
Okay, so, I mean, because the way I've written it is they're. Well, originally it was bay doors just on the front of the building. Right? Steve Thomas brings up a good point that some businesses it is
integral,
necessary, proper to have a bay door in front of their building, which would mean some sort of conditional use permit, even by the city council, to allow for such a thing. But currently it doesn't work.
And I'm not necessarily talking about the front of the building specifically, but all of the screening and mitigation issues that go around all of the rest of the bay doors. So how are you to do that on this particular building without putting a mountain around it? Or fences around it, or, you know.
Well, this side has a fence. Well, again, don't worry about this side. You have a most advanced tree with trees on this landscape environment that demonstrates shielding. Mm-hmm. And just a shielding mechanism there, as well as the doors being right. This side, this is a retention basin right here. The landscaping plan is supposed to show significant amount of vegetation through here, shielding
visual. 6-inch high shrubs is what we were going to propose. Really short.
That's not a lot.
Some concrete curbs.
So you have a visual structure there as well. Like it's not, you're not eliminating the view, you're just mitigating.
Right.
And our bay doors don't start till about halfway back or each side of the building. So.
On this side, there's a drive out here, but eventually there's going to be another building here. So standing at this point, your visual is only to about right here. So. And then as well, there's a landscaping work here, and the landscape. So I think there's a number of ways to do that on this building. Not to mention the landscaping, you have an A there, but there's no bay doors here.
And I'm not arguing there should be.
Let's say it was a Jiffy Lube.
Yeah.
Okay, the Jiffy Lube, the fence in front of it just isn't appropriate. That's not a useful method. There could be some vegetation based on the positioning of the building that is an option. But also, I would say this is where you rely on some creativity in the other category. And it may just be the name of the actual door itself, or the door looks like, or how tall it looks, or I think your definition back up. Sure.
First of all, I think it's a good idea to have a general standard that we write that applies across the board. So we're not targeting or picking out one particular applicant or use that basically applies to whoever's going to apply for this kind of use or whatever. I think part of what we do as a planning commission is also aesthetic in nature. We are here to guide the aesthetic development of this city. So I see no problem in saying that we don't like the doors on the front of the building.
No, it's not, I don't think it's arbitrary at this
point. Right.
But in a general sense, to say, as we envision a commercial development, we don't envision it or bay doors. Understanding that there may be exceptions to that. So
right.
That's why I think you have to have an exception clause and how you draft it, I don't know. Stephen likes to open the can of worms every month. But I mean, the last sentence here, that basically the formula that we'll call it, you can also make that applicable only to buildings over a certain amount of size. Probably brought this up, as might be worth mentioning, that good buildings, bigger building down there, but if it was a Jiffy Lube, then
more than my network.
You know, going from 40,000 to like what, 4,000?
Yeah, not very big.
So
if you can have it some sort of, you know, we used to, our old code just said take density and it was capped and we wouldn't develop.
Right, okay.
We had no numbers, we had nothing. You know, at
least
it
worked out really well for us. But,
yeah. But we all agree that we needed to establish some numbers in some manner, and therefore we can set a standard that we can hold people to. And I think that's what you're trying to do here, whether 1,200 is the right one or not. It seems to work, like you said, for buildings over a certain size. So my point is, I don't have any problem setting a general standard. I don't have any problem that the general standard has an aesthetic component to it. I think it's important. I don't think it's just nuisance that we're looking at as public. I think we're looking at the aesthetic development of our community. And then I think it's a good idea to have a standard of some kind that actually has some numbers in it, whatever those numbers are. And then lastly, I like the idea of, however, there being an opportunity to look at buildings where those doors may serve as the primary purpose for the business. I don't know if you say it's vehicular, you know, travel through the building like a car wash or a Jiffy Lube or whatever. I don't know how you define that. It might not be the right way. So it's not really the doors we're attacking. It's the fact that vehicles move through the building and they go through large doors that they have to get out of the way. So I like all those ideas.
I think the definition here you're crafting brings us closer to the discussion we're having. I think I'm struggling with the word demonstrated the integral to this. To open to interpretation. What's important? Integral to one person may not be viewed as integral to another. I almost wonder, when you mentioned more of a challenge, we should have an exception clause. And my question is, legally, do we need to have an exception clause? Or is this iterated? There's, say, yours can't be in front, period.
Where it says may, not shall.
Yeah.
Is that good enough?
So what if that wasn't there at all? What if it was a statement of, must be demonstrated the integral to the commercial use? I guess what I'm getting at is we have to have an exception clause in the statement. Or is it just period? That yours are not allowed in front, period. So if it's integral to your business, you just might not apply in our city, you might go someplace else. Or you might lobby the city to change the code to allow you in the city so you can get your door if you want. But legally, we have to have an exception clause. Or can we just have a requirement, period, right?
Through our farm, we hide in such a different way. And we get assessed with the space, you know, in our city, especially where these things go.
What's the legal? I'm asking about the legal application.
I know. So you can, I guess that's what I said.
Yeah.
You can have conception and not have
conception. I'm just curious.
I mean, you can look at it like, I had something that is all buildings listed as either conditional use permitted within the SC1 commercial zone may, that in itself is not binding, it doesn't say shall. And then if you may, you have this next sentence there, integral part of the business. Now, integral part of the business, I think, is maybe problematic.
I agree with Jeff's comment. The one use that I think we all can sort of visualize is the pastor. So I would like to see the exception be that specific, that the vehicle passes through.
Yeah, automotive pass through, or automotive businesses that need access. I don't know how to forget. But, you know, repair shops and Jiffy Lube and whatever, car washes, that kind of thing. Things are just automotive centric.
While you're typing it, should this also reference somehow 5 and 7? Should there be a correlation between those two somehow? Or are they able to stand on their own and not be contradictory or confusing?
If you're looking for an automotive pass through, it's going to be visible for a hit or a glass.
That's
nobody
can
build if they can.
So how do you say I'm in compliance with 9 and not in 7?
Yeah.
Can I still apply? Or do we say, I mean, I'm just throwing language out, in addition to item number 7 above, or instead of item 7 above, or whatever, somehow it seems like the two of them have to
correlate. Reconcile?
Yeah. Is there an official term for a pass-through of 8-1?
There might be. I don't know what it is, though.
Right. Indoor climate control, right? Indoor climate control. I like that specific.
I do like that. Because I think every institute demonstrated when there's a big door in front. That's the floor test that you can help you move all the
way. I mean, everything else probably should, unless it's like access to storage unit, should have some kind of, you know, treatments to make sure that it's not out in the open, visible, and all that.
We have a definition of what a bay door is as it compares to overhead doors. Is that the same thing?
Treatment is the same thing.
Should we call them the same thing? Should we call them overhead doors, or change them to bay doors?
They can be either or. I'd probably change them all to bay doors. They're really the same.
You want to change section 7 then to say bay doors for overhead doors? For example, I don't know if overhead doors anyone says.
I think overhead door to me is more bay than a bay door.
Specific.
Yeah,
ask lots of questions today.
I just Googled what it would be called, and it's called an auto service and maintenance and tune-up service store. You know, I just don't know how you're going to get specific with it.
Vehicle and equipment service store.
Could you read that one more time?
Auto repair, maintenance, and tune-up service.
I'm not sure that hits car wash.
And who knows if we'll ever have any of these businesses, but it just seems overly specific. But right, so they may have that. They may have that car wash, and it's currently strictly prohibited.
Yeah, it is. Section 7 limits it right
there. What about wanting to include a square footage here?
I'd say 42,000 square feet.
That's not to exceed.
Think about your home, you're going probably somewhere between
3-4.
That's from 1,500 to 2,000 square feet on main level.
Yeah, all your traditional retail uses like that, other than a car wash, your biggest car washes are going to be 5,000 square feet.
Dollar Tree, I believe, is
or less.
Yeah, I think it's Dollar Tree.
I would say it's a 44 square feet.
I think they're smart to have like home side with the bay doors for, you know, halfway past the on the side elevation. I think that's fair enough.
So I'm looking at some code from, I guess, LA or something, but it's totally different. It says bay doors are vehicle entrances, exits, and openings. So that's completely different than a loading area, I would say. I mean, something that you could take a forklift in and out of, sure, I guess that's an exit. But like something that, yeah, vehicle bays or entrances are much different than a loading area, which you would definitely want to screen from view and access.
I think my thing is we don't have a square foot size building line in the use case for that.
Can I ask the applicant a question? So these doors are, could I potentially like store a classic car or something in these units? No vehicles? Okay. No. Oh, sorry. I could make up some more.
If I could help on the language, bay is the area, the overhead is the door. So you don't have bay doors, you have bays with overhead doors.
Right.
Or man doors. Yeah.
So, does Body want to keep talking about this some more? Would he like to make a motion? Except for strike or
the formula for I still kind of want to talk about it.
I'll make a motion to make a motion to include it, see if the body can use it.
You have to agree on the square footage. All right.
And whoever makes this motion that they could, because this could they read the text for the record they have.
All right. I've changed bay doors to overhead doors, which is consistent, so that's votes. I've got the exceptions for what we're calling pass-through overhead doors for auto maintenance and service. Can't mention another use.
Is your projector out of focus today?
It looks fantastic to me.
No.
You're welcome to sit closer.
I'm losing it.
And then what about the last clause? Last sentence.
I would say the limit is just in the middle of the 7,000 square feet.
Which that's up?
I'd say strike it.
Can I get a strong pull here?
Why doesn't that work for a smaller building? I mean,
if it's a Jiffy Loop, say it's 2,800 square feet, and they need four doors.
Or eight doors.
If you go out, it will not
pass. Is it that is 2,800? Exactly.
I'm making that up. I have no idea.
Typically. That's not like reasonable.
That's not
going to
work?
That's,
yeah.
I think it's
not which is why we're putting the whole
thing. I would say it's pricing around 5,000, right? Except that 5,000 or 10,000. Exactly.
I still believe we
keep a limit.
Never, yeah.
I don't think there should be a limit.
I think we're making up code here. We don't know what the case is. We're even considering this. So I don't understand why we do it. So.
I'm okay with the limit in the sense that we can change it down the road. I almost rather have language in there that puts some numbers on what we think so we have a little bit of teeth. And we can decide along the way how much we want to enforce that.
Okay.
But didn't we do that on a potential residential building that caused a problem? Like just put a random number in there and then it was too strict?
Okay. I'm okay with
the limit.
Steve?
I don't necessarily see a need for it. But.
This is a new formal straw poll.
The only thing official is when we vote on motion.
Yeah.
Which I loved it.
Straw poll. For the record, everyone is not being terribly strongly opinionated either way on this. So,
as part of the motion, I propose that we eliminate some of the wall square feet on the building and make just the building as a B section. I'm just proposing that.
Where?
Right here. Right building size should be limited by total building area, meaning this is part of the strikeout, meaning the sum of gross floor area of all floors. You just building.
Okay.
Why do you have cake?
Can you show that now, then?
Yeah, so let's look at their site plan. I'll show you why. Because their building is 42,000 square feet and it's about 30 to 35 feet high, right? And it's two stories, but it could just as easily be that big and one story.
If it were two story and we counted the entire building, you're saying it would be
84,000. That's why I don't feel like it's a very good measurement of.
Right.
So the solution, I don't like it.
And we're not going to put overhead access doors on the second floor.
Well, certainly not. And so I would hope not.
You'd be surprised what we do at the power company.
So that's my point, is that just because you limited the square foot doesn't mean you limited the height. And it's the
right
combined total that will have the impact, not necessarily the second floor.
As it's written now.
Yeah. So
I agree with that.
Also, yes. Also, let's say that down the road they're searching for a commercial retailer here that's let's say it's a Trader Joe's or a Harmon's or some sort of grocery store. And they're limited to 25,000 square feet. That's not gonna work. So I feel like it handcuffs the city more than it handcuffs anybody else. I don't really know. That's their main.
There's nothing great about it. All you have to do is read what Chandler wrote.
Well, he's going to admit, yeah, the changes.
I'm over here with him. I can't see it anymore. Can you read it then, Chandler, with the changes?
Yeah, I can. Service. Bay doors, overhead doors, and all loading docks and loading docks shall be located on site under an elevation of the structure subject to conditions approved by the City Council after the Planning Commission recommendation. All overhead doors and loading docks on any use listed in Section 3 of this title chapter shall be screened from view using landscaping, fencing, and other methods. The general appearance of the building shall maintain an architectural theme consistent throughout the commercial zone. And I'm still not really certain about the last sentence.
Read it anyways.
Go ahead and read it.
For buildings over
5,000
square feet, the number of exterior overhead doors should be limited to one per 1,200 square feet.
I have a suggestion.
And then there's the change on the
board.
Suggestion. Building size should be limited by the total building area, meaning the square footage of the building.
For auto maintenance and service, I would say for auto maintenance and auto service, or auto maintenance and auto maintenance for auto service.
Vehicle?
So services could be, still could hurt that to be any type of
service. Vehicle maintenance and vehicle service. Can we do that?
Sure.
I have a concern where that exception is placed. Because as you read it as a whole, it can almost be interpreted that all of the things after the exception still apply. So I wonder if the exception ought to go at the very end.
And then that the building size limit may not apply for the exceptions either. So that would, it applies to everything but these vehicle and automotive service.
There you go. Yeah.
And then that way we can still have our numbers. They just don't apply to pull through vehicle.
I actually would put it right before the general appearance of the building shall maintain, because that applies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about 7? Can the exception apply to 7 as well?
Do you really need 7 if you have restricted the frontage?
Don't we strike 7 altogether?
That would be my vote. Well,
let's talk about this. 4600 West?
No.
There's not going to be a big person in front of 4600 West. City Hills Drive?
No. Sorry.
I'm going to say AFCU wants big doors, overhead doors, I should say. I should get out of that habit. If AFCU wants overhead doors, it's going to be an interesting conversation.
But don't they have a drive-through kind of thing?
Yeah, but not a main door, or not a regular door. So I'm not really concerned about 4600 or Cedar Hills Drive. Then let's go along 4800, which is North County Boulevard. There could be with Jiffy Lube or Quick Quack or any sort of car wash, there could be that exemption along there, which we carved out in 9. So I think that this is the nice part about having commercials on the list.
Cool.
I don't know if the 7 is necessary.
What about the small area by the AV homes? Small commercial area.
There's a very small commercial area, yeah.
The places.
On the corner of Walmart?
On
Walmart?
No, on what's it called?
It's on Cedar Hills Drive. It would be that.
The one behind my house.
South.
Oh, the one on Cedar Canyon.
West. They've got one little corner, it's commercial.
Yeah. But you can also position that building so the bay doors do not. You could do a Jiffy Lube there or a car wash there and not have bay door space.
Sports drive.
Sports drive. If they could put a Quick Quack over by the Costco on the high, they'd do anything.
So if you strike 7, then we're not saying anything about Cedar Hills Drive.
No, but you've taken your code related to overhead doors and you've really broadened it.
Yeah. I'm fine striking it.
Would anybody like to make a motion?
I'm putting 5,000 right here.
Thank you.
So, if
some more words, the general appearance of the building, or of buildings.
I think John wants to make a motion.
I'll look for it. Okay. I move. That we recommend the proposed amendments to Cedar Hills Municipal Code 10-6A-5 relating to planned commercial development project building requirements subject to the following modifications. I will read those. Strike Section 7. Section 9 shall read, structures having overhead doors and loading docks. All buildings listed as either a conditional or permitted use with an SC1 commercial zone may not incorporate any overhead doors or loading docks of any kind along the front elevation of any building. Overhead doors and loading docks shall be located on side and rear elevations of any structure and are subject to conditional use approval by the City Council after Planning Commission recommendation. All overhead doors and loading docks on any use listed in Section 3 of this title and chapter shall be screened for review using landscaping, fencing, and other approved methods. Exceptions may be granted for commercial uses with pass-through overhead doors for vehicle maintenance and vehicle service. The general appearance of buildings shall maintain an architectural theme consistent throughout the commercial zone. The number of exterior bay doors, exterior overhead doors.
It's all stricken.
For buildings over 5,000 square feet, the number of exterior overhead doors shall be limited to 1 per 1,200 square feet of building footprint. Subparagraph B, second paragraph, strike some of the gross floor area of all floors and replace it with square footage of the building footprint.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion before we vote? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Well, motion carries. Okay, next item on the agenda. Review recommendation on concept preliminary plan approval for Taco Bell and preliminary plan for storage facility. Cedar Hills Gateway Commercial Project located approximately 9968 North, 9968 78 North of 49 West of SC1 commercial zone. And before we get started, I have a couple of questions, Chandler.
Sure.
Is this noticed correctly?
Yes.
It says preliminary plan approval, which is the bed card conceptual, is that last
bed? Which one are you reading?
Didn't we table conceptual last for storage facility?
Yeah, so we actually re-noticed it Monday to say conceptual, so you're going to do both, but it was not spread for that.
I thought we weren't able to approve it until the code was approved by city council, this what we just talked about.
This, it would have to be a condition then of our approval.
Yeah.
So to be clear,
we're doing conditional, yeah.
No, Taco Bell is just preliminary.
Taco Bell is preliminary.
Right.
The storage facility is conditional and preliminary.
And it'd be wonderful if we could notice these separate copies.
I thought about that, but it's the same developer and it just costs more money.
Costs more money?
Yeah.
How does it cost more money?
It's like to give two notices instead of one.
Just more words in the newspaper that they charge you for.
How much money are you talking about?
Several hundred dollars.
He's about
now,
right.
The point is that the developers are the same for both facilities. I've got two motions here that you can send one forth and hold one back, hold them both back, you can do whatever you want. But we're going to talk about them separately, but it's with the same development. That's why I'm comfortable having them in the same memo. It's a small item.
Okay.
If the planning commission feels that this always needs to be, if it were two different developers, it would definitely be two different items, but where it's the same developer and developers, like, by them. Anyway, let's start with the Taco Bell. Again. Okay, so this is the landscape plan. I got a number of items tonight. Mark, I can send these to you, Charlie, and I know you. On the building itself, as we look at the elevations of the building, I'd really like to see the location of signage for, it doesn't need to be the actual sign, but I'd like to see just a designated area where the sign would be. So in this case, if this is the facade, I'd like to see just cut out box here, sign would go here. I just want to see where the sign would be. On the landscaping palette for Taco Bell, on the landscaping palette here, there's a number of them that aren't found in the commercial zone guides, so we just want to make sure that we're selecting items from or vegetation or pull from the approved list. So we want to swap those out for the deciduous trees and the evergreens. It's actually fairly simple. And they're very specific about which trees go along, which of those. So we just want to pay attention to that as part of the landscaping plan. The one identifying street lighting, if there's anything in addition to what's on the overall plat, so if there's any parking lighting along the street, which we're identifying that. I'm not seeing a monument sign location, but I'm assuming that there's going to be a monument sign. So which one identify?
No, most likely.
Yeah, so we'll want to identify the space for that speaker because this was not considered to be very important. We have talked about the queuing and parking. And so this is the view shifted to the east. So rather than queuing up around here, possibly blocking traffic along the side of the road, what we're doing, we asked them was to finish the asphalt strip out here so that in the event that there's a community-wide hankering for burritos, they queue up through here rather than through here.
That may happen.
That may happen.
Nice going back
in. So we want to see that. And then it would really be on Taco Bell, the management there, to
really comb that off, which becomes a problem, and we can redirect people that way. We can staff and work with them on that. As part of it, I was wondering about the pedestrian path. We've got a sidewalk here, and I wonder about a possible pedestrian path across here, just to tie this site to this future development. My only hesitation with that is that we're not really sure about what that site is going to look like. So that may be a future thing that might be future. I don't know. I wanted to show location of the fire hydrants. If there's any condition may be required by fire code in addition to what's already on the site plan park. The parking, we have only 19 parking stalls, two of which are ADA stalls. And the one of the challenges here is that we don't have roads in place and we don't know all of the uses within the development. So doing a traffic study, you're working with so many unknowns that you're really, it's almost like a garbage in, garbage out type of scenario. So you can't really do a traffic study. One thing we want to do is demonstrate that the parking is adequate. And this comes from Mark providing this today for me, and I can forward this to you. It's a parking generator. It comes from a parking generation manual, which is what engineers use for basically estimating parking needs for a certain type of building. It's a big thick, but it has every type of use within it. What they're showing is that for a building this size, which is, you say it's 2.3, so about 2,300 square feet. For a building of 2,300 square feet, there would be a requirement for approximately 19. So a building that's this size, you see that at 2.3 right here, they're estimating 19 parking stalls, and that's within a, you said a 95% confidence level. Right. So this is based on the top is based off of the, you see 39 traffic studies for drive-through locations. So I feel like they're parked adequately. And then there will be additional parking once which we know goes in, that'll be that shared parking aspect. So I'm hesitant to park one item only to consider commercial yellow and then go to park. The engineering review is underway and that's happening. So the utility is being tied into the overall gateway subdivision. We're working on that. So staff's aware of that, but I just want to give you an update that that is happening. So what we're doing is we're making some modifications to the overall gateway public improvements in the streets here. So in this street and along 47 West, along the storm drain there, we're wrapping those up. And then once those are wrapped up, we'll do the engineering to step into those locations.
Pure curiosity, is it already stubbed to the cut?
Yeah, I believe there's cutouts there.
For what?
The water and sewer?
Water sewer.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
That was just curiosity.
Yeah, there is.
So we wouldn't have to cut it in 48.
No, we don't. There shouldn't be any cut in 48.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's Taco Bell. Can we focus on Taco Bell right now?
Sure.
What questions, feedback, answers can we give Taco Bell?
Where's the designated, well, the 19 count you just mentioned includes the 288, so 17 plus the 2. Is that including the void parking?
Yeah, that's what Taco Bell Park's at this next to those.
Okay.
I know, so they have, how many seats was it?
43.
So you're looking at a requirement of about 14 parking stalls for three per stall.
14, 15 square yards, and so then you have another 5 to 6 for employees.
So we were invited to go check out a couple of the dorm, which is, it's, I think, similar, pretty close footprint. I went down there the next day after a week to go and ask tacos. And I counted the number of employees in there, their peak time for lunch, and there were 8 that I counted. It seemed like that was their peak. I truly don't know right for it. So I'm fine with the number of parking stalls over here. I just like when I come on, I imagine that how fully the employee staff talk about my avenue or my big employees potentially.
I think that's a fair assessment. And I think most people probably go through the drive-through. So
I think that's a
queue of the drive-through rather than.
And I believe it was identified last meeting that is one of the, if not the busiest Taco Bell in Utah.
Congratulations. And restaurants will overlap their shifts for their peak hours. So you'll have double.
Can you give me a favor? Go on, state your name.
Oh, stop.
For the record.
Shay Williams with W2 Design. So restaurants will overlap their employees for peak periods. The shift will overlap by an hour. And so you'll have twice as many employees. But that's between 11 and 2.
Maybe 10. So, thank you.
Commissioner, I think that, or Chairman, I think that there was one thing that you asked last month, and I don't believe I understood the question or answered it appropriately. On the sidewalk, you had asked about coming north, and the sidewalk does terminate here. There's not a sidewalk from point A to Hart here. There's not a sidewalk there. And unfortunately, it's not on this development to put that sidewalk in. So eventually there will be a sidewalk. So I apologize. I don't think I understood your question correctly, though. But there's not a sidewalk at this point. But ultimately there will be that walkability aspect as that development occurs. I guess that's just kind of the nature of having piecemeal development.
So it will be required.
It will be required, correct?
Yeah. When it's developed.
So these building renderings here. I'm going to go that slide or not?
Yeah.
This is the color scheme and all that that they're proposing, right? For the building. And this is the same.
This is my printer printed.
Same color as some of the other buildings in the zone. If I remember right, somebody said the exact same brick color that was used from Walmart or something.
For the storage building.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the color
is from Walmart, is that correct? The color. Color was not storage, not necessarily the brick size, because you're not going to find the manufacturer, but the brick color, I think, is probably more important as color is matched to Walmart. So you've got kind of like an old Virginia red or something like that.
Cedar Hills Colonial.
By the way, there's some irony here. The big windows are like the doors.
There's more irony than you know.
That's what's mean they do.
They originally had bay doors on their original drawing, and we said, that's not going to work.
Okay, that's all another topic, so I'm just laying out that. My primary concern was addressed by the extension of the turnaround drive. That was probably my problem. I'm not happy to see that there.
I think the building elevation actually looks pretty good. I'm going to say that for both elevations of both buildings.
Have we got north and south elevation next year, or is more of those right?
No,
the entrance is on the south side, yes?
Yeah, you know, I think you're right because your drive-through windows are right here.
North. Yeah, that's
showing south, and that one should be north. This should be the north elevation.
Right.
That's what I thought.
On your grid deck. And west, I think these are flipped.
And then east and west seem to be flipped as well.
Are these
unless I'm reading.
Supposed to face out from the street?
No, the windows are supposed to face towards the parking lot. Well, they face towards the director, so yeah, the street.
Yes, and then you guys want.
Yeah,
the east, west, and north, south are swapped. But, and I think.
So which facade faces the street?
This facade right here with the windows faces. So this is what you would see from Main Street.
4800.
4800.
North Campbell.
Driving home.
Yes.
This is walking in from the parking lot.
It's nice to see that transparency.
Actually. Do you want to talk about the storage facility?
Let's finish talking about first.
Okay,
just finish this. And if we do, it's two motions.
You can wrap up the Taco Bell and move on to the storage facility if you want.
But I have a question about the offsite then with this overflow access is being switched to come off of 47.
Yeah.
So is that a temporary fix? Because is there, what's the thought behind that? What's going to move there?
It'll be parking for another drive.
It'll be parking. Ultimately, this will be a parking drive out for another development.
So
there will be additional parking through here, and possibly right there, and their building will be somewhere in this.
So that's permanent?
Yeah, they're all.
Yeah, it's permanent. Yeah. Odds are they.
I just didn't know that something else was going to go there.
So I would suggest applying to be entertaining a motion on Taco Bell before we talk about the storage facility. We'd be doing preliminary recommendation for Taco Bell. Anybody have any questions or comments?
Can we recognize Jared as the one who was?
Yeah, I was just going to do that. Yeah, so Chairperson Stephen Thomas had to depart, and I want to recognize Jared Anderson as a voting member now for the duration of the meeting.
Sorry,
I didn't
get it.
Yeah, it's okay. So I don't hear any discussion or questions, so it's certainly somebody who can make a motion.
I'll do it. Let's keep this moving. I move that we approve the preliminary plans for Taco Bell located approximately 9968 North, 4800 West, subject to fixing those north, south, east, west elevations.
I would suggest you amend that instead of saying approve, I say recommend.
Recommend approval. Thank you.
What about Chandler's list?
Yeah.
Thanks.
I withdraw my motion until I hear what those recommendations are again. I did not itemize them.
Okay. If I'm going to go through identifying signage locations.
Signage locations.
On building and monument signing.
Okay.
You want the crosswalk? Cross one of them. Crosswalk or something?
There was a crosswalk. That one, I don't, that one's an item for discussion. I don't know if the other one's required. It's just something.
I think it's a good idea, so.
Are you talking about the sidewalk?
Yeah, there.
Can I just propose that we do that when that other lot is developed, only because we don't know how that's going to tie in exactly. And really, all it is is really a paint concept. So,
that's what I was going to say, is I like the idea of a walk strip right through here, but with planter area here, it's almost like you're forcing them to walk through a planter and then down to a strip. So it'd be better if when this gets developed, if we identify this, is we have to come in and make a crosswalk here, and identify the path more separate, sorry, east west through here. So it may be better to hold up on that. I agree. So, let me go back to all this.
Yeah, signage.
Correct, or update the landscape and palette to be selected from the approved list.
Can you just reference?
I reference what you're saying. Go.
Show the location of fire hydrants. Subject to an engineering review, as always. And then show the location of streetlights and parking lights. All right. Any additional streetlights that are not shown on the plat and then the internal parking lot events. Some of these streetlights along this street should be shown on the overall site plan, not in this individual site plan, but they still want to see if there's any parking lot in the rear. That's what I have.
Can I try?
Yeah.
I move that we recommend approval of preliminary plans for Taco Bell located approximately 9968 North or 800 West, subject to the recommendations that Chandler just itemized, correcting east, west, north, south elevations.
Yeah, have a second?
Second.
Any discussion before we vote? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right, so now we're going to talk about the storage facility. And this is for conceptual and preliminary bulk. Is that separate motions? Just to be clear.
No, that came down the same motion.
Okay. Let's at least look at the right cycle. You guys are looking at the right cycle. Alright, so for the storage unit, do you want me to just go through my list here as well?
Yes.
And then this first one might be a little preliminary, but identifying a hours of operation and delivery hours, there's got to be a point where it's not happening. So we'll want to determine that. I don't know that tonight's the night to do that, it can be any time. Obviously, with a big indoor storage facility like this, we don't want to see any outdoor storage. I don't know that that's ever been an issue, but just
yeah, we don't need to.
So, your garbage is being outside either, so you're not going to keep the garbage outside, I'm going to keep it still.
So, no dumpster on the property?
Curb cuts. I anticipate that this may be something we do now, it also may be something we do at future development. But for walkability's sake, we may need to see a curb cut here for access, pedestrian access here eventually. But when there's, where it's not walking to anything at this point, it may be something that we do later. I don't know if you want to do it now or later, but I don't know. Any thoughts? Putting an ADA ramp on this portion right here. Either there or right here to go. So I don't know. There's got to be some.
There is an ADA ramp there. It's at the crosswalk
side. No, to get from this portion to this side.
We've got an ADA ramp. We have an ADA ramp here.
Okay, there is, but I'm thinking we may need one of them.
There's one right there.
Right here?
Yeah.
We can add one.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do that one.
Okay. Parking. What do we?
I don't have anything. All I have are data points from.
Ryan Biby, Ryan Biby,
thanks.
We don't have a traffic study that determines parking on sort of, but all I have are data points from public facilities and people that are anywhere from 3 to 4 stops on an ADD stop. And I can kind of explain the reasoning for that as you see on the sites is most everybody completes their contracts online. They come in, they sign it, and then they're unloading their dollar. And so the need to have
the green light.
So they need to have a bunch of parking because it's not necessary. Oftentimes what you'll see is our office is on the front corner and they're pulling the trigger, they have a truck, they pull in, they park there for 60 seconds, they run in, they sign their contract, they've got access to the building to come. So these stalls end up being only used for our managers that are during business hours and, you know,
so then, sorry, is parking then around the building as the building?
On the exterior, yeah, it'll pull right up to the next, they'll pull right up next to the to their so maybe that for the loading zone, which is located here to here.
Okay, so if that's the case, which I'm fine with, but these are all super fire aisles. So I would say that
25 foot,
yeah, they are still pretty wide. So I would say that just I would paint the curb red on these corners. I just wouldn't want to see any. Just if they're parked right here, fire truck can still get by. Yeah. But if they're parked right here, it may not happen. But it's probably an unlikely circumstance, but just something. I still need landscaping plan. You said you're going to submit those tomorrow. And then it can be the same thing where we just need to make sure that they're selecting from the right palette and we'll come back with the right types.
That point, this is my opinion that we should not approve conceptual work plan until we have a landscape plan.
Conceptual
plan.
Sure. I think that conceptual plan, but I don't know how we could approve the preliminary plan for landscape plan. And that, I don't know why. Is there a reason why we don't have a landscape plan yet? Is there a reason?
You're anticipating tomorrow.
Just not that.
Just wasn't done.
Because I don't think it's good enough just to say pick from the approved list. Especially when we're talking about.
Well, you do get a pick from the approved list, but there are some specific, like, you'll pick from this list and these series go along this road. So, but there's some deviation, there's a lot of. Streetlights. Once again, I think streetlights are out there on the road that are shown on the actual gateway plan. The lighting for the building, they did provide a photometric study, which I guess my question, Ryan, for you is on this photometric study that you guys did, it's really difficult to see, but at the property line right here, you still show a lot of light over here. Is that taking into account the 8-foot fence?
No, it's not.
So I would say that if there's any sort of fence there, these numbers in the properties are actually zero. Is that a bad assumption or am I off base there?
I would think that's a good assumption.
I mean, how high are the lights now to the building?
They're at 12 feet.
12 feet. Back, but they're 12 feet, they're shielded, and they're aimed down.
So they're cones. They're dark sky.
Yeah, so you can see on these plans like where the light is, and you can see the light is really contained in this area, and then drastically drops off quite a bit.
So you see at the fence line, which is the upper point, too.
Yeah, this is the fence. This is not the fence. This is the fence. This is the drive up here.
But you're right, Chandler. We don't want any green off your property.
Yeah, so we just want to make sure that the fence puts that off to zero. Yeah, I think at 12 feet, you're how far away was it? 40 feet to the property line. Seems like you're going to be in zero versus the fence at that high of the
tree. Yeah, I'll have a make sure the fence is
double foot check on that
picture. Sorry.
No, that's good. we want to see on the actual facility. There's going to be fire hydrants along 4700. The building's of scale that there will be additional requirements for fire hydrants on the back, just for fire. Got it. Okay. And then on the fence, we want to demonstrate that it's
we discussed an 8-foot fence, and we would want to show it the entire length of the property.
I also bring up that the big reason we are doing the 8-foot fence because in the code, section C number 6, they say no loading docks in the great roof areas may be located within 50 feet of residential uses. These areas must be screened from public view with 8-foot.
I saw that. I think you could also get married with these are not public docs too, but I get it.
Okay. I guess you're not public docs.
So we want to demonstrate that it's 8 feet, and then we want to show that it continues on, that it doesn't terminate, that this property line goes up. And then we had discussed that the city would work with you on reimbursements for this portion of the fence along our property to show that. That's. I'm sure I'm not missing anything here. So that's my presentation. Any questions for him?
So, in last meeting, this topic was tabled, and staff was asked to propose code changes, which we reviewed today, and code changes essentially centered around overhead doors. I'm just wondering, this topic has to get to the city council too. I don't know if this body still addressed the intent of the conditional use of the indoor climate control storage facility. That we've allowed, we've mitigated the building a little bit through use of the overhead doors. But I guess my question is, did staff attempt to try to tackle the topic of the indoor climate control, or was the intent that was mitigated by just being overhead doors?
I'm not following you.
So when we allowed storage facilities to be in the city zone, I believe, and you go back into history, the intent was is indoor climate control storage. And we've debated some of the meetings. Does a bay door constitute climate control? Is it more than outdoor? We've never come to a consensus. I'm just saying that this body may approve this preliminarily, but then it goes to the council. City council may have the very same concern, right? We say, well,
sure,
we thought the intent of this use was the kind of control, and there's 35 big doors here, and that's not considered. So I'm just wondering, in the last meeting, which I was not in attendance, but I did listen to the audio when I came in the minutes. It was tabled, and staff was asked to propose code changes, which we discussed today on open doors. Did staff discuss it with climate control at all, or was that?
No, my understanding was that the code change needed to be around the actual bay doors, not anything else.
Right. So what I'm getting at is this body recommends this. We're basically saying that this building meets the criteria of indoor climate control storage. That's just I'm pointing out.
So okay. So you're proposing that this gets okay. So there's two items going in tandem here. We've got the code change, which there's a reason that we talked about that first rather than second. And quite honestly, if you're to approve this recommendation to the city council tonight, it's contingent on the city council adopting that code. If the city council says, no, we're not doing that, then we've got a different conversation. But I feel like, I feel like the city council weighs heavily with what you say. Are we concerned about passing one and not the other?
I'm just saying, I believe the intent of us when we allowed storage facilities not allowed in this body, and then the council, city council, this body went through the process of adding as a permitted use. So when we did that, we had a lot of discussion. And I believe my interpretation of events is that we asked what I call an indoor climate controlled storage facility. We use the word indoor climate control in the code. There's been a lot of discussion about what that meant, and we've heard from the industry saying that, well, that, you know, what we mean by that is that, you know, big doors is like indoor, it's climate control, that we had chatter here in our last two commission meetings about what we think that meant. I'm just pointing out that if we approve this, I believe we are going a little differently than our original intent. We're out of it. That's all I'm going to say. Now, my client's body wants to approve the storage facility and call it indoor climate control. I'm just saying that the fact that it has exterior entrance bay doors that are not climate control.
Could I ask that we have a quick straw poll? Just poll the commission. Does anybody have heartburn with that issue?
Which is, I used to have, because I felt like I was caught off guard, and this is what I thought we were going to get, and I was pretty, you know, surprised, and I felt like this isn't what I told all the neighbors from down that street would come. And so I went back as we met at the last meeting. So the first meeting we had on the 15th, that's how I felt. And we met on the 20th, as we met on the 26th, I looked at what they brought us, and I'm more okay with this building rendering being called indoor climate control. I feel better about that.
Yeah, so I want to make sure we address the last 2 months' topics, right? Or we just, I just want to make sure we're all understanding. So we changed our position in some.
Well, we kind of hammered this out the last meetings, I thought. And that we were all really felt good about where it was at and what the definition was and what it meant and how it was explained. So we understood what climate control meant and that we were requiring the
possible.
Yeah, I feel the same that Lorianne mentioned. Originally, I was caught off guard as well. And my concern was the doors, not whether it was climate control or not. Frankly, closing a garage door when I drive my Jeep down every morning, it's 50 degrees, and outdoors, it's like 20 degrees. So you could argue that to some extent, that is climate control. My concern was just all the bay doors. I think the developers met us in a good place, and we've written some code that allows for this structure as designed, so I'm not worried about that issue, as I was originally. I feel like we've met the goal.
So, does anybody have any questions? Or
I'm okay.
You're okay? Can I make you want to say something, Jeff? I'm sorry.
Well, what I was going to say is frankly, the concern I had 2 meetings ago was we made it an issue about doors, and the ordinance didn't have anything about doors. And I think we've addressed that with the amendment, and we're good.
Okay. Are you concerned that maybe the council hasn't processed this the way we have?
I think they'll go through a very similar process we went through, is all I'm saying. So, I mean, we discussed this concept for three meetings now, so I'm just saying that they'll probably go through a very similar process.
Let me interject something. I mean, typically, first of all, Ryan and Charlie and Mark, they've been really great to work with. I think they've really taken into consideration the concerns. I don't believe there's ever any intent to make a switch and say, you said you want control here to get. I think there's just some real understanding of definitions of different things. It's that simple. But with that being said, I feel like they really took into consideration, okay, well, what's important to you or for me to know. Normally, in most circumstances, we've got an application here for a storage facility.
an indoor storage facility, we've got an application for a storage facility. To change code to apply to them midstream, in most cases, is wildly inappropriate. You don't do that. Because most cases, it's the cities getting an application that they're not comfortable with that is allowed under their code. And then the city will try to really rush through some code that, you know, it's really high involved for the developer. And I don't feel like that's what the city's doing here at all. I think the city's trying to say, we understand there's limitations in our code. Let's meet the middle. Let's work this out in a way that works for your building, but also works for our concerns. And so I don't feel like there's a hide the ball here. And that's really important, because if there is that, state property rights obviously really frowns on that. It's not good. So I think that the city's acted in good faith, and I feel like the developers have acted in good faith as well, to come up with a building that, quite frankly, I think the building looks nice. The issue was the bay doors over indoors. But I feel like there's been a meeting of minds here, and the outcome, I think, is something that we can send to the city council with the code, and it's contingent upon the code. But the city council is, I feel, very pragmatic in what's there or can be there and what the planning commission says. So it's not, you're not speaking in, you know, it sounds like it's like we're not speaking in an echo chamber. People do pay attention to what you do. So your conversations are listened to at the city council level.
So, does anybody have any questions or comments around what Hammer's discussed today?
I do have one question. I really think we don't have all the documents for the preliminary approval. Conceptual, absolutely.
Yeah.
The preliminary, I'm a little worried about that.
Let me ask you this. We've talked about sending them together in tandem. The issue with the small city and planning commission is that we've got once a month. We don't have a huge agenda, as demonstrated tonight. But everything we're talking about tonight is centered on this development. An idea is, these are scheduled to go before the planning commission, sorry, the city council on March 19th. But the next planning commission meeting is not until March 26th. So it's a ways away. So you've got a number of options here tonight. You can approve the contingencies. And I understand I'm sympathetic to your comment that there's some things that I'd like to see.
And I want to clarify a little. I'm sorry I'm interrupting. I don't want you to.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
My concern is that I don't want there to, if we approve tonight preliminary, I don't want the developers to feel like we're going to hitch up with a gotcha on the 26th.
Gotcha. That's a good point.
Nobody.
That's not fair to that. So there's.
I just don't think it's good practice for this body to approve projects without that safety plan.
So I think I'm sympathetic to that as well, because you're sending something to the.
Especially with the council. The scripture says they have substantially increased the landscaping surrounding the building, thereby reducing the visual impact of any overhead doors. Okay. I just see that, right? So,
sure.
I just think it's a core item. So, I'm going to do policy practice.
So my proposal then is March is a tight schedule. We have a planning commission for the city council meeting on March 5th. It's Tuesday night. If the commission is sympathetic to it, we can schedule a special planning commission meeting on Thursday the 7th. It doesn't have to be at 7 o'clock either. It can be at 5:30, it can be at 6 o'clock, whatever you want. But you can do preliminary approvals. That gives them, if you're submitting a landscape plan tomorrow, then what else is there?
The lighting would be the only other thing that.
The lighting, provisional lighting showing that there's a fence in that.
You use zero amount at your
property. Yeah. I mean, and that's, I think that's easy to do as well. So if that is something the planning commission is open to, that gives them an approval with a complete packet to go to the city council, because I am completely understanding that you don't want to send 80% of it back and hope that the other 20% makes it in by the time the city council sees it. But it does allow them to continue on the 19th and to have, because here's the other problem is that you've got the 19th is the city council meeting, well, the 26th is this planning commission meeting. That's only a week turnaround, but if they have to wait, then they're waiting until the 4th week of April, which I'm actually gone that week. I'm in conference that week. So, I mean, being a small city, sometimes we have to call special meetings here. So, if this body is open to that, I'd like to make that proposal.
So, we've done one special meeting already. I'm not opposed to doing a second one.
And it doesn't have to be the night I propose. It can be almost any night.
So, March 7th, and this straw folder, right? Who cannot attend on March 7th?
I will not be here on March 7th.
Who else cannot attend? I cannot attend.
Is there a better day to work for you?
Not next week. No.
So,
you have to do it out.
So is it two or three?
We're
three people. Oh, three, so you have a quorum.
Maybe the others can come.
Is there another night that works? I can't find my phone, so
I'm not available tonight. But that's okay. I trust this body's work. You guys can handle it.
I may be available either of these nights. We just don't know the schedule
for sure.
And it can be a Wednesday. It doesn't need to be a Thursday.
If they're not meeting for the 19th, can't it be somewhere between the 11th and 15th?
Oh, you have to notice it.
No, we've already public noticed
it. We've
public noticed it, so we're not under that criteria.
I'm
going to have this place on our beginning of that week, the later part that we can do.
Do you need to try to tell me for the line?
Monday, Tuesday.
What days are you proposing now?
13th, 14th, and 15th, I can meet. March 6th is also a possible date. That's a Wednesday. I don't know what Wednesdays look like. March 5th, we could do March 5th if you want to do a 5 o'clock meeting.
Before the council meeting?
Before council. You've got an hour.
I would suggest that we meet on March, let's speak of March 7th. That's my suggestion. Okay.
I can do that. Jared, you said you couldn't.
I have bar convention in St. George.
I may be able to, just depends on the schedule. I like the early times.
We don't know how that meeting will go, and it's conceivable that there will be another reason for another special meeting.
Let's just try it out.
I mean, and I can, if the 12 works better, I can.
So Thursday, March 7th.
Sorry, I'm actually grounded in my own schedule at work because I double booked myself. So,
Grant, you know me.
So, we're looking at 5:30
or 7:30?
Oh, 7?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm delayed. Yeah. I don't want to do it. That's it. I'm just going to wait. That's just.
I could do the 13th.
I can.
That night, okay.
Or you think you can't do March 7th?
I can't
do March
7th. The only days I really think I can't are, I don't know why you want to do it on Friday night, as much time as we have. But the 11th and 12th, Monday and Tuesday, those are really the only days I can't do.
If we can bring our significant others to me, they're always welcome.
But like I said, if you feel like we can do this in under an hour, we can do it on March 5th, on a Tuesday.
But we have to do it at 5 o'clock.
At 5 o'clock.
And
or, Colleen, what's on our agenda?
On the 5th?
Yeah.
A couple resolutions.
We can do it at 8:00.
Budget stuff. Fee schedule.
Fee schedule.
Jeff needs it for. Charles doing budget.
Okay, if we can't have any control over whether that meeting will go long or not, so we need to something can't be here at 5 that night. So why don't we just stick with the 7?
Stick with 7, okay. Go with that.
7, do you want to do it? 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock?
6.
To be cognizant of city resource and communities, that is one of the actions.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, I signed up for this.
So maybe
my life.
If you go back to Tuesday the 5th at 8 p.m., 8:30 p.m.?
You've got to give council time to meet.
Yeah.
You can't cut them.
All right, back to March 7th.
Yeah.
What time is March 7th? Let's do March 7th.
6 o'clock?
6 o'clock.
6 p.m.
March 7th.
Thank you. Is that
okay?
Yeah. You guys, thank you.
It would be really great if you could be there.
Yeah.
So, sounds to me like Zoe is saying preliminary would be discussed that day. So tonight we'll talk about conceptual.
Yeah, I'd like to conceptual out of the way we can.
If we want. I guess that could be both conceptual. If you wanted, we go on.
Conceptual.
Well, the nice thing about granting conceptual approval is that you're saying you're okay with the idea of the building.
Right.
There's somewhere.
If we throw the contingency on for this code, is city council going to?
That's not to the 19th.
It's not to the 19th. Okay, so we'll still have to.
We're still.
Contingency going to
tie back up together on the 19th and the
18th. That's fine. That's just kind of open.
So the contingency is more important on the next.
On the next one.
But then I turn on the motion for the preliminary.
Okay.
We could make a motion to recommend conceptual approval. And were there any changes, Chad, in the site here?
If we're only approving conceptual, then I'm comfortable just saying we approve conceptual.
Okay. I mean, that we approve conceptual plan for the extra space versus facility.
No, I would then let's say a table of preliminary plans.
And table of preliminary plans until March 7th.
Okay. A second.
Any discussion before you vote?
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I would say nay. So.
Okay. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Is that motion ever filmed?
No. Not that I know of.
I'm not aware of it.